Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 453rd edition of SDG, and I want to shout out to all the new listeners we're getting each and every week during this pandemic. Now, regardless of who you are, we all have one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on with this scamdemic. So welcome to this 453rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And in this very special series on coronavirus, I've titled this message, The Coronavirus Conspiracy and the Mystery of Iniquity. We're going to focus at the end of this message on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, which reads, For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Also he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So what does this mystery of iniquity, the coronavirus, and conspiracy all have in common? Well, I hope you stay tuned to find out as we pull back the covers on this very dark, dark situation. First, it is a heist, folks, a big heist, and I hope you all see that, and in the process of waking up, what I like to do before we get into the meat of the matter, so to speak, is to look at what I'm calling a COVID-19 news update. Okay, so diving right into this, you probably heard the latest rage this week. It's all over this teaser to the documentary named Plandemic, and it's featuring the testimony of Dr. Judy A. Mikovits. And she's outing the medical establishment with regard to epidemiology and the gang of Fauci and Burks and all that. Now, back in 2009, Dr. Mikovits was the darling of the New York Times. There was an article titled, Virus is Found in Many Non-Chronic Fatigue Syndrome Cases. It was written by Dennis Grady, October 8th, 2009. And in it, he's just praising Mikovits over and over, talking about what this chronic fatigue syndrome is and how she's related it to a specific murine leukemia virus that she was working with in mice, and she co-authored a paper, okay? So this was a legitimate research type of process, and what you do is you get into peer review, and then people discuss it, and sometimes these things are edited, redacted, whatever. That's a process. It's the academic research process. But let's wind the clock ahead 11 years, and there's a lot of stuff that happened between then and now. And this latest article on Dr. Mikovits from the New York Times on May 9th, 2020 is titled Virus Conspiracists Elevate a New Champion. This is by Davey Alba. And they go in there basically and bash Judy Mikovits as she outs Tony Fauci. And, you know, this thing's had like millions and millions of views, I think, in the last week, since it was released. It's had like 8 million views. And it's being deplatformed over and over. So it's strange. You know, 28 minutes of video, and it becomes such a rage. Anytime you see something like that happen, folks, it typically means you're hitting the target. So is she squeaky clean? No, none of us are. But what they do is they don't address the issues. They attack the person. It's a logical fallacy. You can call it ad hominem, but it's really not addressing the issue. The issue are the facts. Now, how about this one? This was PJ Media News. It was on the 6th of May. Megan Fox, and it's titled Michigan Hospital Workers Say CBS and Hospital Administration Faked COVID Patients for Some Sensational News Segment. And they go on to say that the staff got the word from the administration to go out, get in their cars, and line up in the testing area because no one was out there. Of course, CBS denies all of this. And then they pulled the Cherry Medical Center portion of their piece. Well, let me ask you, could this be a conspiracy? Well, this is what I call the mystery of iniquity. And don't even get me started here in this situation in Pennsylvania. Governor Tom Wolf threatens counties and businesses that defy coronavirus restrictions. You know, we have a tyrant here in Pennsylvania. This is out of usnews.com, and it was published on the 11th. And here's a quote right from the tyrant in chief, Wolf himself. I cannot allow residents in a red county to get sick because their local officials can't see the invisible risk of the coronavirus in their community. So I must and I will impose consequences if a county locally lifts restrictions when it is not yet given the go-ahead by the state. Well, who do you think you are? And then he goes on and he calls us cowards. Article, they always do this. There's been more than 60,000 confirmed cases of the virus. Folks, it's the PCR testing. Remember I covered that a few weeks ago? They look at a residual RNA fragment of this quote-unquote virus, this coronavirus. And this is not unique. This particular RNA fragment can be found in people that had the flu, some people that just had a version of the cold. So what does it mean when you say you have 60,000 confirmed cases of quote-unquote the virus and nearly 4,000 people died? Folks, that's tragic, and I really don't like hearing that. But you know how many people died in Pennsylvania during that same period from other causes? Nearly 40,000 people, 10 times more people. And guess what? None of them are being warned except by their loved ones who couldn't even go to the funeral here in Pennsylvania. Well, guess what, people? there are stories like this all across the country each and every day. Even where you live, you know, people are dying every day. So my point is that statistics can be deceiving. And then how about this glaring hypocrisy here in Pennsylvania? Our chief physician in Pennsylvania is none other than Dr. Levin. It's a guy turned gal or a wannabe gal. We're not sure because he's not disclosing whether he actually had what they refer to as a reassignment operation. But quite frankly, folks, he looks like a throwback to Wayne's World. And I'm not attacking him. I'm just telling you some of the comments I see under the news articles. So he lectures us, or she or shim lectures us here in PA, telling us we can't take our loved ones out of a nursing home. But that's exactly what he does with his mother. Plus, Levin, Governor Wolf, Cuomo, and other Democratic governors across the country are sending COVID-19 patients to nursing homes. Did you hear me, folks? We have a lockdown on our nursing homes and our assisted living facilities here in Pennsylvania. I can't even go in and visit my mother at the retirement home she lives in. It's not a nursing home. It's a personal care home. the place where seven other women live. It's a convent. I can't even go in and see my mother. Yet they're forcing facilities to take COVID-19 patients. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Fortunately, my mother's isn't in that situation because of what it is. But isn't that hypocrisy? Could that be a conspiracy? And how about up in Maine? The governor there is attacking a restaurant owner. You know, there's only a handful of deaths up in Maine and not many more cases. Yet they locked down the entire state. And this is happening all over. God bless the governor of South Dakota who hasn't done a shutdown. And look at the statistics out there. This is more than a virus, folks. This is about control. And they say, well, we want to do the Chinese model. Folks, there's like 1.5 billion people in China. Or maybe I'm off. I don't know. There's a lot of people. That's my point. And China locked down about 10% of their population in a few cities, while the rest of the country continued to produce. Yet our country has totally shut down. And then in New Jersey, there's that gym owner. Let's see what happens to him. He's opening on Monday. Or how about the governor of Illinois? Two people per boat. What's that have to do with medicine? And then how about the lockdowns in Washington State and California? Do you really think this is all about a virus? You know, there is something going on, and don't get me wrong. And the epidemiologists, they come up with these very arbitrary definitions with regard to the percentage deviation over the norm with regard to the death rate, which will determine whether it's an epidemic. Now, there has been over the last probably 10 days a spike over the daily death rates. But up until that point, we were below the norm for a daily death rate. Now, if you take a look at these statistics and remove the state of New York, the national average on a daily death rate actually falls below the average norm on a daily basis. Now, as a scientist who's not specifically expert in this area, analysis, and has done it in numerous areas, I'm telling you, this is not being approached the right way. Could that be because there's a conspiracy? Or what I like to call the mystery of iniquity. Folks, everything I'm talking about right now with regard to numbers is right out there on the CDC website. Yet people that go out there and try to dice and slice those numbers, we're called out, we're criticized for questioning the current dominant narrative, which is coming out by the establishment. Here's another article out of Zero Hedge. 52% of small businesses expect to be out of business within 6 months. This is sick, folks. And I say this is a conspiracy to concentrate business into a few megacorps so it's easier to control. That's fascism. And here's another one by Mike Snyder at theendoftheamericandream.com. I've spoken with Mike before. We've interviewed him on the old show. And the title of this article that he wrote is, "You may not understand this now, but you need to get prepared for food shortages that are coming." And I'm telling you, he's right on in this article. You know, the truth is that the global food supplies are getting tighter and tighter. And this was happening even before the pandemic. There have been some bad crop harvests. And the UN World Food Program Executive Director, David Beasley, warns people that the world is facing the worst humanitarian crisis since World War II. And very soon, literally 300,000 people a day could be starving. This is right out of a UN report. And then all across the country, you see cities like Pittsburgh and San Antonio and Phoenix with cars lined up for hours at food banks trying to get a box of food. These are images, you know, at food banks, which underscore how devastating this pandemic has become. So we literally have less than 100,000 deaths. You remember, 8,000 people a day die in the United States. So in this same period of roughly, what are we into, about 100 days? So that's 800,000 people have died across this country from other causes. In the same period that we're counting 80,000 coronavirus deaths, And it's very difficult to get some of this on a national average. I'm noticing that all the reports are delayed about 2 years. So there's going to be plenty of time to scrub the data. But the real difference between an average daily death rate, something going on in what they call this epidemic or this pandemic, is how you really assess the gravity of the matter. And we have healthcare workers all across the country doing TikTok dances. And then up at the, was it the Lenox facility in New York City? One of the bloggers actually got a video of everybody, all the healthcare workers outside doing a some kind of light dance. It's crazy, folks. And then back in 2015, Heidi Baker, and you may have mixed opinions about her. She had a vision and she saw long lines of people in beautiful vehicles receiving food. Isn't that exactly what's happening now, folks? Well, I'm telling you, this is a conspiracy, and it's all about the new world order, and banking is very key. So people think this is about a virus. Well, it is, but the virus isn't only some COVID virus. It's a virus of the financial system. It's a virus of the political system. It's a virus of essentially the belief structure of Western culture. But let's just focus a few minutes on how dark the money system can be. I want to read you a quote from John Dalberg Acton, okay? He said, "The issue which has swept down the centuries and which will have to be fought sooner or later is the people versus the banks." And that's happening right now, folks. Remember back in 1913, Congress, over a Christmas break, passed the Federal Reserve Act. And you know, it was never properly ratified. There's been studies done on that. And what happened is the moneyed families, and by the way, Bezos and Gates aren't the richest men in the world. There are these families behind them, like the Rothschilds, advanced this Federal Reserve Act. And like I said, they stuck it to the American people right during the Christmas break when everybody was home celebrating. Folks, the Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express. The name was written to design written and designed to fool people. It's not federal, okay, and there's no reserve. It's a private banking system. You know, Andrew Jackson, one of our first presidents, was asked what his greatest accomplishment was, and he said, killing the national bank. And then listen to this quote from Thomas Jefferson. "I believe that the banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that now grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on a continent that their fathers conquered." Did you know that the Federal Reserve is now going to start purchasing equities on a routine basis? So they print money, they buy equities, they buy properties, they buy items of wealth, items of true value with a fictitious creation of a currency. That's crazy. Then how about this? We got to wear masks. Everybody's telling us we have to wear masks. Well, out of health systems, part of the technocracy web page, okay, on May 11th, there was an article published by Blalock. Dr. Blalock is a surgeon, and he says face masks pose serious risks to the healthy. You from getting sick. It's like putting a chain link fence up around your patio to keep out the mosquitoes. Folks, it's more about a psychological type of warfare that's being waged than any kind of mitigation of health risks. And you're breathing in your own carbon dioxide. You're concentrating all those germs that your body respires. How can that be healthy? The bottom line is, if you're not sick, you shouldn't wear a face mask. Okay? It's just not sensible. Plus, I think there's a lot of other symbology in there about masking our egos. And I mentioned a few shows back about the initiation, right, the three steps of an initiation. First, there's isolation. Then there's the covering of self, covering of ego, and then there's the new birth, you know, the reemergence plan. And isn't that exactly what we're going through right now? Well, in the midst of all this, and thank you, Sister Kathy, there was this music video that came out, and it's called I Wear My Face Mask in the Car, and I'd like you to listen to it. It's 4 minutes long. I don't know if I'm going to play the entire thing, okay? But I'd like you to just get the flavor of it. Just listen to it. And if you'd like to watch this video, and it's very well done with its graphic images, just email me at kdbeard1961@gmail.com, and I'll get a link out to you. Here it is. What did you think, folks? I mean, honestly, I've been driving around here doing my essential work at our plant and then trying to maintain a status quo at our home. And you don't know how many times I pass cars on the road and people are wearing a face mask in their car. And then, Kathy, you send me this video. It's right on. What is that? And then they say in the video, that's virtue signaling. That's exactly what they're doing. People want to just act like they're so smart because they watch CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, and they think they understand what's going on. That's flattery, folks. And that's one of the worst insults that the establishment levies upon the common man. And it's all you Karens out there, you know, those people get offended when you don't have your mask on. Get a life. I mean, come on, read some of the studies about this. It's out of control, folks. It truly is. Now, what I'd like to do is switch gears and get into the heart of the matter. And what I'd like to talk to you about is what's really going on. And I call it the mystery of iniquity. If you want to listen to the entire message, it's SDG 64. I did it a long time ago. And believe me, when I was preparing this message, was I getting attacked? Oh my, was I getting attacked. And what I'd like to do is start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. By the way, folks, if you were here for the coronavirus update, please, I'm asking you, stay tuned, because this is going to make more and more sense as you tie these back to the Bible every week, which is the ground of truth, the rock of truth. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Then I'm going to look at Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and some other passages to show you this mystery of iniquity. And by the way, I'm almost certain you've never heard anyone in any church talk about it like this. So let me ask you a question. Pharisees, did you know that while we believers, in fact, this entire world waits for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's something very ugly working in our world. And that thing, that vile force that's working in the world right now is called the Matrix. Okay? But you can call it the mystery of iniquity, too. And listen to these sober words from St. Paul out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And now you know what is restraining, that he, that's the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So right here, St. Paul is saying there's something out there that's evil. It's vile. It's a conspiracy. Yes, a conspiracy against the very children of God. And I call it the mystery of iniquity, just like he does right there. Right now, in this world around us, that you could call the Matrix. You know, sometimes people look at me very puzzled when I start to share my thoughts with them. And they sarcastically say to me, Ken, you don't believe in conspiratorial history, do you? Well, yes, I do, folks. But it's not exactly what you're talking about or may be thinking. Because I'm not simply talking about the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the CFR, the Deep State, the Freemasons and the Rosicrucians. And folks, I've studied all that. The Committee of 300, you know, the Council of Nine. It's not about the international banking system and the New World Order, or even those 13 families that I told you about a few weeks ago that rule the world and plot to create their New World Order. And folks, it's not even all about this plandemic, the scamdemic, the coronavirus heist. It's not. Now, that's all true. And that's all a conspiracy of sorts. But let's face it, it's not conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy fact. But there's a much bigger conspiracy fact going on right now that most people have never even dreamt of. But if you're listening today, right now, to this message, it's because you know something's wrong. You just know it, but you can't explain it. But you feel it, and you've felt it your entire life. You know there's something very wrong with this world, but you just don't know what it is. But it's there. It's like a splinter in your mind. Like I said in the Matrix, driving you mad, okay? It's a feeling that brought you here to listen to this message. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, some have called it the Matrix, but I call it the mystery of iniquity. And do you want to know what it is? Well, this Matrix, or this mystery of iniquity, it's everywhere. It's all around you. Even now, at this very moment, You can see it if you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, if you still can go to work. Even when you used to go to church, and you believe I had to say that in past tense? Yes, even at most churches. Folks, it's this world. It's a Zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, and the lies that have been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the way, the truth, and the life. So what is this truth? Well, of course, the truth is Jesus Christ, but the truth I'm talking about here is that you're a slave to sin. And like everyone else, you, along with me and everyone else, folks, we were born into bondage, born into a prison that we cannot smell. We can't taste it. We can't touch it. It's a prison for our very body, soul, and spirit. And it's unfortunate. But no one can tell you about sir, the mystery of iniquity and what it truly is. So all I'm trying to do today is to free your mind, to tear down those strongholds. So what I'm saying is I can only show you the door. And when he, that's Jesus, knocks, you'll have to open it. You're the one that has to invite Jesus in. Now, did you realize that term iniquity? It's used over 278 times in the Bible, the King James. And whenever you do Bible studies, folks, I encourage you to use the King James because these modern Bibles have been watered down with regard to their usage of specific terms and even some of the source documents. So it ranges from the iniquity of the Amorites to the iniquity of the servants. And this iniquity truly is a mystery. And what makes it a mystery is this conspiracy behind it. It's a plot hatched from hell, folks. I'm telling you, launched upon this world by demonic forces. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's an evil, dark, demonic, devilish force, folks, and it's working in this world today. You know, as you read the newspapers, put on the cable news stories, and indulge in entertainment, you know, the movies, all the streaming on Netflix and Amazon, as you listen to the philosophies of this world, it's hard to see ungodly force, and it truly is working each and every minute that clock ticks. So the truth is, as Christians, we're in a war. War, folks, W-A-R. It's a spiritual war. And the reason we're not winning this war is that so many times we don't recognize the enemy. You know, our enemy, it's not political. It's not philosophical. It's not even cultural. The enemy's not pornography or drugs and alcohol or violence or perversion or even abortion. And not any one individual is truly the enemy. Not even Fauci, Gates, Burks, and Redfield and this gang of white lab-coated freaks that are dictating public policy. And the enemy is certainly not your wife or your mother-in-law or your dad or your husband. It's not even your parents, your boss, or the governor. Yeah, Governor Wolf is doing some crazy things here, but ultimately he's not the enemy. And it's certainly not the president or even Congress. You see, there's this kingdom of evil out there. And it's headed by none other than Satan. In fact, there's even people today that meet with him, Council of Nine. And he appears before them. He's setting up his kingdom, folks. So he's the power behind all these things we think we're fighting. He's the prince of the power of the air. And God's people need to be informed. And that's the purpose of me sharing this with you. So let's pull back that curtain and expose what I call the duplicitous nature of the matrix or the mystery of iniquity. Now, first of all, we need to understand that as believers, we're not citizens in this world. We're citizens of another place. So right now we're actually living behind enemy lines in hostile territory. And I'm telling you, we cannot afford to be ignorant of this point. In fact, we got to be informed. Now, there are many mysterious things about going on right now. And they're all being driven by what I call the underworld, the world of darkness. So I want to spend a little time now in the Word of God and expose this mystery of iniquity. And then I encourage you to spend more time in the Word of God, understanding it as the Holy Spirit leads you unto all truth. So when I say the mystery of iniquity, that doesn't mean that something is so mysterious that we sit down and try to figure it out like a mystery novel. No, a mystery in the Bible, okay, is from the word mysterion. It's a sacred secret that can only be understood by divine revelation. So I'm going to point you in the right direction, and then you have to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you unto all truth. So like I said earlier, the Apostle Paul spoke to the Thessalonians in that letter about the mystery of iniquity. And this mystery of iniquity, it's been explained by a lot of different preachers and theologians in a lot of different ways. And what they typically try to do is they explain this mystery of iniquity is they try to answer questions like why God did not create evil, which he didn't. And why, if God's already destroyed the devil, does the devil still exist in the world? And why the devil won't rule and reign in hell after the judgment? Now, these are all great topics. But today I want to focus on something much, much more sinister. And that's what I call this duplicitous nature of the mystery of iniquity. So let's start with Ezekiel chapter 28. And here we're going to find the story of Lucifer, also known as Satan, also known as the devil. And don't let anyone tell you that Lucifer is not in the Bible. It is. And so before we read Ezekiel, let me just mention Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 out of the King James Version. And you got to read it out of the King James, folks, because it's being watered down. And here it is. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now, a lot of modern scholars with their modern translations say, no, that isn't Lucifer. It's the day star, the son of the dawn, or the shining star of the dawn. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of scholarly papers out there on the internet that will try to tell you how foolish you are if you even begin to consider this translation out of the King James, Isaiah 14:12, to be talking about Lucifer. And by the way, at a first casual read, they appear to be very convincing arguments, but they're not. And I did some messages on that. And if you'd like to know more about that, I don't have time to get into it here, but send me a message at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. And I'll get you that information, this and Ezekiel 28, and help you to understand how they all point to the father of lies himself, Satan. So let's begin by looking at Ezekiel 28. I'm going to begin in verse 11, and I'm going to read through to verse 19. So it's a rather long passage, but it's important. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom and perfect beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee down to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. And by the way, this means Lucifer was a businessman. Folks, he's into everything, even religion. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So never forget, folks, that there's a kingdom of evil out there, and it has a dark leader, a prince named Satan, also known as Lucifer. And then in John 14:30, Jesus calls Satan the prince of the world. So this is his realm or his matrix. And this passage of scripture that I just read to you was addressed to the ancient king of Tyre. And all the scholars are right about that. But as you look deeper into this passage, you got to realize that soon it goes beyond the king of Tyre to the power behind the throne, so to speak. Because while this was a wicked and ungodly, egocentric king, the king of Tyre, things are being said about him that just could not be possibly true about an earthly man. For example, in that passage, God was addressing Satan through the king of Tyre because he talked about him being a cherub. You heard that. I just read that. Okay? On God's holy mountain. So he's addressing the devil through this this narrative to the king of Tyre. And God's done things like that before. For example, he addressed the devil through the serpent, the Nakash, in the Garden of Eden out of Genesis chapter 3. And at one time, the Lord Jesus even addressed the devil through none other than Simon Peter himself. Remember, he said to Simon Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So the Lord Jesus saw the power that was working on Simon Peter. And that was really the power of Satan himself. And the Apostle Paul says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So many things that we see in the flesh and blood right now are really the workings in the spirit realm, behind the veil, so to speak. And in a true sense, power of Satan. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And that's the way the king of Tyre was being dressed here in Ezekiel 28, exactly as in Isaiah 14, where the King James properly translates that term Hillel as Lucifer. Now, if you'd like to read a very rock-solid, concise reason for this, email me and I'll show you. But I just don't have time to get into it here. So then, let me ask you this. Why all the confusion over the use of this term Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12? Well, that's the key right here to understanding this mystery of iniquity. And like I said earlier, I want to focus on something very sinister, an incredible conspiracy fact, not theory, that I call this duplicitous nature, the mystery of iniquity, or the matrix, okay? So simply put, it's two sides of the same coin. On the one side, you have Satan, the sinister devil of darkness. Now, his demonic deadly ways, they're easy to spot. And short of a Satanist, or somebody that's into all that goth and death and darkness, no one's going to serve him. Yet on the other side of that same coin that I'm calling the mystery of iniquity coin, we have Lucifer, the angel of light. Now, Lucifer's ways, they always appear to be good and godly. But beware, okay? I'm going to get into that a little more later in the message. That's exactly what's happening with all this lockdown garbage and this social distancing, virtue signaling, as it said in that video. So Lucifer's ways always appear good and godly, but there's something sinister behind them. In fact, that's the way the world works with the Freemasons and all their do-good things they do. And how about the folks over at the Lucis Trust? You know, they call Lucifer God. Now, did you know that the Lucis Trust was formerly Lucifer Magazine, and it was funded by the Theosophist, Madame Blavatsky? And by the way, she worshipped Lucifer. And they want to tell you that he's got a bad rap from religion, you know? He's really not all that bad. And how many times have you heard the idea that Satan is the opposite of God? You know, we all play that word game called antonyms. You know, you say a word and then I have to say the opposite. For example, I say up and you say down, or I say good and you say bad, or I say light and you say dark. Well, when people say God, a lot of people say the opposite, Satan. But folks, that's not true. And that's because God has no opposite. But the dualists, they want to make you think that the opposite of God is none other than Satan. And this false god Lucifer and this whole system, his matrix, or the mystery of iniquity, it's all in play right now, folks. The truth is God has no opposite. Because if God had an opposite, he'd have to have an equal. And there's no equal to God, praise the Lord, because Satan is a created being. But be careful here, because God did not create Satan. Now, you may be confused, okay? But hang on there, okay? Because I'm going to explain this. There's truly none other like God. There's no opposite to God. God has no opposite because God has no equal. Praise the Lord for that. He's all over this, folks. He is in control. Even this mystery of iniquity and the lie of dualism. So what this is all about is the duplicitous nature of this grand conspiracy that I call the mystery of iniquity. And here it is in a nutshell. And mind you, like I said, God did not create the devil, also known as Satan. He created an angel, the anointing cherub, who was absolutely and totally created perfect, yet he was created with free will. So he was created in perfection. Again, in verses 12 through 15 in Ezekiel 28, what did we hear? Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealeth up the sum. So today I'm telling you, we are the seal of perfection, okay? But back then, that seal, okay, sealest up the sum, meant that he was a perfect 10. He was created full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Then again in verse 15 it reads, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. So like I said, God didn't create the devil. And he didn't create sin either. And God certainly didn't create imperfection. So he didn't create the devil. He created a perfect cherub, the chief angel, who was perfect, noble, beautiful. And he had free will. So Lucifer was at the top of the game, so to speak. He was the top in the line, chief worship leader, chief commerce sector, the best, the wisest of the wise, the most exquisite in beauty, surpassing all other beauty, superlative in wisdom. And like I said, and as we learned in Isaiah 14:12, his name is none other than Lucifer, which literally means light bearer. So it wasn't a bad name. In the beginning, that was. In fact, it was a beautiful name, and that's what the Masons and the Theosophists continue to believe till this day. He's the grand architect. And he was that until the day he fell, as described in Isaiah 14:12. And why did he fall? Because Lucifer was, and I said past tense, was perfect in beauty. Okay, and verse 13 tells us that when he spoke, his voice was like music. Now listen to that last verse of 13. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day thou was created. So when you heard Lucifer speak, it would be like hearing a great pipe organ. And he lived in a very beautiful place, the jeweled city, on the mountain of God. Verse 13 says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And then Ezekiel lists these precious stones. And then in verse 14, we know for certain that he couldn't be talking about the king of Tyre, like I said, because it reads, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. So he was actually the worship angel covering the mercy seat of God. And I have set thee west upon the mountain of God. So in Isaiah 14, just as in Ezekiel 28, we see that the writers are talking about more than the king of Tyre. In the Bible, the mountain stands for the government of God. So like I said, Lucifer's also in the government. This angel, this cherub, this incredibly beautiful being, the shapeshifter, surrounded by splendor and dealing with the government of God. See what's going on here? He was a high official in heaven, the prime minister of heaven, so to speak. In verse 14, we're told that he was a cherub. And that cherub is the highest class of angels, powerful in all ways. He was a covering, chief among them. In verse 18, it speaks of sanctuaries, and it reads, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. So now a sanctuary, it's a place of worship, okay? So Lucifer, in this high government position, was also the chief worship leader of praise to God. And he had the ability to respond and offer worship and praise to the Most High Almighty God, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So he had all this splendor and power and might, the top of all created beings. Not God's opposite. Again, listen to verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways until the day iniquity was found in thee. Now, in spite of all this beauty and seemingly endless wisdom, he was created. So some people believe in dualism, like I mentioned earlier. And they believe that's the sum total of reality. But God's beyond that, folks. They believe there's some sort of eternal kingdom of evil and some eternal kingdom of good. And they're in this cosmic struggle of yin versus yang, you know, those symbols, that dualism. Well, the truth is, play right now is the Matrix, the mystery of iniquity. But God's way beyond that. He's in control. This isn't plan B for God. He knew this all along. He's got the ending written in his own word. He knows how victory is going to be achieved through Jesus Christ. So this notion of dualism, and that being the sum total of all there is in reality, is a lie from the pits of hell. And it's the very core of this duplicitous nature, this mystery of iniquity, the Matrix. Because in this game of dualism, the light side of the coin and the dark side of the coin are both the same player. These dualists, they wrongly pit Satan against God, when in truth, he's playing both sides of the coin here. That's the mystery of iniquity, folks. Pitting the same character with two aliases against himself. So it's Satan versus Lucifer. What a brilliant lie, huh? Just like this pandemic, it's brilliant. What a way to abrogate freedom, huh? So in truth, this whole concept of dualism is a con. It's two sides of the same coin. The absolution of all from the Masons and all these secret societies stand on the light side of the coin. And they say you'll be right. But the truth is, there is no dualism. In truth, there's no equal to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone rules and reigns. And that's what the con's all about, folks, this mystery of iniquity. So it never was God versus Satan. This matrix or this mystery of iniquity is and always will be the two sides of that same coin. So the apparent good is Lucifer versus the apparent bad Satan, when in truth they're both evil and wicked. What a scam. I'm saying it's brilliant. And today all religions are trapped in this. They worship Lucifer, believing he is God. And like it says, okay, in a very famous old saying, and people debate where this came from, but the worst kind of treason is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And that's exactly what Lucifer does, both in our church halls and in the halls of Congress and in this battle over COVID-19. Now, Jesus even warned us that this would happen in Matthew 24, verse 12, where Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound, love of many shall wax cold." And yesterday, Dr. Tenpenny posted something about belief. People believe in vaccines. It was an excellent post on Twitter. And that's exactly what's happening. And I added, they also have a belief system in the money with the Federal Reserve notes. They have a belief system in scientism, confusing it for science. And they have a belief system in politics. And behind all of this is Lucifer saying in Isaiah 14 that he's greater than God. It's not some generic morning star, just another son of dawn. This is Lucifer himself, the chief cherub, created in perfection, but corrupted by pride. Remember, God didn't create a devil. He created the most perfect angel, the cherub, the covering cherub. But the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, gave that angel Lucifer the power to choose. Choice, free will, just like each and every one of us has. And Lucifer, the son of the morning, became Satan, the father of night. You see how this is all fitting together, folks? And his wisdom and his beauty, they were corrupted. But beware, because in this duplicitous nature, in this mystery of iniquity, these vestiges, okay, of his light and of his beauty, they still remain to this day. So he can turn it on and off. He can shapeshift. So there's something crucial here that we need to learn about Satan, this dark prince, okay? He still has traces of his original beauty and his residual wisdom. So he can say things that sound really good to the carnal man, okay, to the natural man. But the spiritual man has to be able to discern these things. He can transform himself or shapeshift, so to speak, into the angel of light, Lucifer. And he may even be appearing to men, like I said, in these councils of nine. Then on the other side of the coin, called the mystery of iniquity, we have the devil. Now, you may be saying, well, you're making this up, bro, Kent. No, I'm not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, Paul talks about these false apostles occupying the pulpits in churches around the world. And he says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. So Satan goes from the demon of darkness to Lucifer, the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So just beware, folks. Be careful. Okay? Not everybody who stands behind the pulpit is a man of God. Some are actually working for Satan. Satan has his own ministers in churches, folks, and Satan has princes in government. And he also has men in lab coats telling you that you gotta keep the schools closed next fall because the children are at risk. Remember Fauci saying that in his testimony this week? This, folks, is the mystery of iniquity, the matrix. So both in our churches and all across the land, in our banks, in the corporations, our city halls, in the hospitals, in Congress, in courts, even the Supreme Court here on earth, anything done for the reason of man, so to speak, the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, anything done for the wrong reason, any right done for the wrong reason is a treason. So what's the wrong reason? Well, like I said, anything we do, both good and bad, that advances our will, either here on earth or in heaven, instead of affecting God's will here on earth, anything done for that reason is done for the wrong reason. So Satan uses this camouflage of light. He's the master of media, folks. He's the master of ministry and music. He's a lover of light. So we have these festivals of light at Christmas time. He's the worker of literature. So we have these raunchy books like 50 Shades of Grey. He's brilliant. But in a way, he's brilliantly stupid because he thinks he's going to beat Jesus. I'm not going to deny it. He's beautiful when he turns on the lights, but it's a hideous beauty. And if you're in the spirit, you can sense that because this beauty's been blemished and warped by pride. Okay? And that makes him very dangerous. And there are some expressions from the Bible that speak of his ways. His ways are called more subtle. That's out of the book of Genesis. And in Corinthians, he's called the angel of light. And he's called in the book of Ephesians, the one who has wiles. Okay? So he has these snares, these devices, and these schemes that the Bible talks about. And again, I encourage you, read this in the King James, because it's been watered down in the modern versions. Okay? It has been. It truly has been. Now, stop for a minute and think about these words, angel of light, snare, subtle, devices, schemes. Do you know what Jesus said of them? You know what Jesus said about Satan? If it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. That means that not only can he deceive you, but he can deceive me. And if he hasn't, it's because God hasn't allowed him to do it. So praise Jesus. Remember, he's incredibly wise, shrewd, and powerful. And he knows the word of God better than anybody other than God himself. So he's not opposed to religion or ordered government. He's not. Now, everyone supposes they could spot him a mile away. And they think his religion is Satanism and his government is anarchy. But remember, that's only Satan's dark side of that coin. On the other side, we have Lucifer with his organized religions and his New World Order. And the good old USA, in fact, it was organized religion, folks, and government that motivated him to begin with. Remember, he wanted to be worshipped like God, and he wanted to rule and reign. So his desire is in the realm of religion and government. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He wants to be just like God. He wants to rule and reign and be worshipped. He always wanted to be worshipped. And just like most people do with Uncle Sam, while not even knowing it, you know, this getting these stimulus checks and this extra $600, we're starting to trust in God. And God, we trust off of the play money we have, the fiat money. And that's because they want us to put our trust in government and instead of God. It's brilliant, isn't it? And that's one of these subtle elements of this duplicitous nature of what I call the mystery of iniquity. This dark, sinister devil on the one side of that coin, and then that brilliant, apparent do-gooder, the angel of light, also known as Lucifer, on the other side of the coin. Now remember what Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And this is so crucial here, folks. Write it down, okay? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what are these strongholds? Well, they're the things that make us prisoners in our minds in this matrix, this mystery of iniquity, this belief system that Dr. Tenpenny was talking about. So let's see what they are from verse 5. Okay, so Paul writes, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, remember, although we're born into a prison that we can't smell or taste or touch, a prison for our minds, there is hope. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 reads, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, the Lord of hosts. But into you that fear my name shall the sun," that's S-U-N, capital S-U-N, "of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, that's the day of Armageddon, folks. And we, 10,000 of his saints, are going to come back with him, and we're just going to stand there and watch in awe as Jesus Christ opens his mouth, standing across the battlefield from all the armies of this world and all of the princes of Satan aligned against Jesus, and he's just going to speak, and out of his mouth, the truth that comes forth, we'll have them all drop down dead. Remember in the garden when Judas deceived him in the Garden of Gethsemane the night he was betrayed? They asked him if he was Jesus, and he said, "I am he," and they all fell down. You know, he could have spoken just a smidgen more forcefully, and they would have all died. And I love how Paul put it in Romans chapter 16, verse 20. "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan," that's Lucifer, "under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Wow, I'm telling you, he will bruise Satan under our feet. Did you hear that, folks? Praise Jesus. Imagine that chief cherub, the fallen angel Lucifer, the light side of the mystery of iniquity coin. Lucifer, the devil himself, also known as Satan, doesn't want you to know this truth, folks. He wants you to keep on worshiping this dualism, this matrix, always being in fear from false evidence about reality, never realizing what's beyond it. And that's the kingdom of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's our blessed hope, the soon return of Jesus. And oh, what a day that's going to be, isn't it? And so how do we proceed? Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "For those in Christ, all things are made new." That includes our minds, folks. We can receive the mind of Christ. Then he told the Romans not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So right now, folks, if you just don't understand everything I'm talking about, and I'm not pretending to have it all right because I don't, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today and repent and be saved. Now, I love you also. Repent and trust, and then trust and obey. And now go out and spread this good news to others, okay? Tell them about this incredible conspiracy, and tell them about the matrix and the mystery of iniquity. And remember, this is your last chance. There's no turning back. This is a war, and it's a battleground for our minds, and the stakes are our eternal destiny. So which will it be? Folks, I love y'all. Stay the course and stand on Jesus. Because we are the children of God. No fear. Lift it up and praise the Lord. We're no longer slaves to fear. I love y'all. And provided the Lord willing, I'll be back next week with another message from the Word of God. So I deliver it from my enemy till all my fear have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
No!